But you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, and and if you want to continue to do that, then you can do that. The only thing I'd ask is that you just don't blame Jesus for it anymore.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to do it, take it upon yourself to do it with yourself and take the repercussions and the responsibility for doing it yourself instead of trying to justify yourself by acting like Jesus is condoning it.
That's right.
I get a little wore out nowadays with this modern Christianity is this sort of liberalistic kind of way of viewing things, of anything goes. And trample underneath the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot and just say, oh, well, you know, what difference does it make? It's a lot easier for you to get along as a Christian if you just condone everything the world does.
Right.
And if you're going to say there's some things that are wrong, you immediately stand out like something's wrong with you.
Right.
It won't be long before they'll be calling you a bully.
Right.
Yeah, you'll be a bully. It won't be long before they'll be condemning you, and what you're saying according to the Bible is hate speech. But until that time, we'll keep doing what we need to do. Now, what I've decided to do is something I haven't done here. It's been about 3 years since I taught this. There's seven mysteries that are in the Bible, and I'm going to go through these seven mysteries, and we'll go through seven resurrections, and we'll go through four judgments, and we'll go through some things like that. This is basic Bible study stuff. But a lot of people don't know anything about mysteries in the Bible. Now, I've only got a couple up here to start with, and that there are mysteries, things that are in the Pauline epistles, that are things that are important for you to know, things that the Bible says that you're to be a good steward of, and that a preacher is supposed to teach you these things. He said, well, preacher, we've already got them. Well, if you're not in Bible school, you got them and probably forgot them and probably don't know where they are. And if you do, then just tolerate the rest of us who need a recap because the rest of us need a recap. Can y'all see that over there okay or no? Is that all right? So this is basic Bible study. It's not taught, you know, by a lot of people because they consider, you know, much study is a weariness to the flesh. And they'd rather teach you about don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, and so on and so forth. Well, you've had about 6 weeks of don't drink. So I'll just give you a break now and just teach you some things about the Bible, okay? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Father, we'd ask now that you might bless this time that we have to study your word. And thank you, God, that you've got a lot of things in here that are about you and not about us. And we'd ask God now that you might help us as we study. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians 4 verse number 1. The Bible says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. And then he says, if you're a minister of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. And there's a number of mysteries that are there. As a matter of fact, there's seven of them. Moreover, it is required that in stewards that a man be found faithful. So what he's talking about there is most people, when they teach a thing called stewardship, that's always in reference to giving. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about tithing and whether you should tithe or shouldn't tithe, and whether you should give or shouldn't give. I'll give you this on that and that alone, and that is the Bible teaches you in the New Testament that you give as God's prospered you. You're not under the law. You're not required to tithe. But it's not a bad practice. But if you don't want to tithe, then fine. We don't focus a lot on money here, and God always seems to provide for everything that we need to have provided for. Giving money doesn't relieve you of a bad conscience.
Amen.
And a lot of people think, well, I'll just give a bunch of money and everything will be okay. It won't relieve your conscience at all.
Right.
Giving money doesn't relieve guilt. Judas tried that.
Right.
Doesn't work at all. So the bottom line is the Lord tells you when it comes to that practice that the Lord gives it to you. If you believe the Lord gave it to you, then you give it back to him just to show him that. But God doesn't need your money.
Amen.
He'll get done what he needs to get done, whether you want to get in on it or not. But we try our best to support his work and do his missionaries and things like that. Most people really don't care about the mysteries. They ask a guy one time, says, you know, what do you think about the mysteries of God? Most people are like, well, who cares? What I care about is my car and my house and my 401k and my retirement and whether or not I'm going to get Social Security and is Medicare going to take care of me and as the storm coming, is Ebola going to get me? Is something going to fall out of the sky and hit me in the head? All that stuff that they make money off of you, getting you worried about.
Right.
You don't think about eternity. You're skin for skin, Job says, all that a man hath he'll give for his life. I want to know what's going to happen to me. I want to know what's going to happen to me. Let me tell you, the best thing to do, get saved and then realize that God's got your end taken care of.
Amen.
Beyond that, it changes from day to day. You can't be assured of anything.
Right.
Take the necessary precautions. If somebody's got a cold, don't go shake their hand or kiss them in the face.
Right.
You say, what? You might catch a cold. But, you know, am I going to stay hibernated and I'm secluded from everything because I'm worried about catching a cold? No, I'm not. I got things to do.
Amen. That's right.
All right, so we're going to talk about these mysteries. Now, when he talks about this, that's like Eleazar in the Old Testament. He's a type picture of the Holy Spirit, but he's Eleazar in Genesis 15. You don't have to turn there. I want you to come over to 1 Timothy 3. Eleazar is given charge over the things that belong to Abraham. As a matter of fact, in one place, he's told over there to go get Isaac a wife. And so he's given charge over that. So being a good steward is taking care of the things God gives you. Now, it's strange that the Lord puts these mysteries down. And none of these mysteries that I'll show you through the process of this teaching are found in the Old Testament. There's a New Testament thing that's found in the Pauline epistles. These mysteries were given to the Apostle Paul. You have to understand that in the Old Testament, people didn't see, even the Old Testament prophets did not see what you can see because of the revelation that's in that Bible. They didn't have a completed New Testament. Jesus Christ, God, hadn't been forgotten in the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ had not been forgotten on Calvary or turned away from or shunned. And the Holy Spirit had not been given and yet rejected. So they couldn't see those parts. So when they look in there, they don't look forward to the cross. And then all of a sudden after the cross, they see the church age. And then out past the church age. None of the Old Testament saw a church age. None of the Old Testament prophets saw the church age. None of the Old Testament prophets saw the church age. They couldn't see it. It wasn't there. You can't find the church age in the Old Testament. You say, why? Because God had a different plan. Man messed it up. God had an entirely different thing set up when he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Who messed that up? Man did. God didn't mess that up. Man messed it up. God didn't say preordained before the foundation of the world that I know Adam and Eve's going to mess up. And so down through the history of time, the annals of history, I'm going to go through there and I'm going to put in a church age and I'm going to do that. God set the thing up for it to be perfect and to have fellowship with him. He just told them not to do one thing. And that thing continues on nowadays. You know what he says to you today? Don't go to hell. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know what he wants you to do? Trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about all the other stuff. Just trust him first. That's the main thing. You know what everybody wants to do? I'll go to hell. Don't you going to tell me what to do? Okay, well, I guess you have to go to hell then. But it shouldn't be that way. All right, the first mystery that we'll talk about, and those of you that were here for the Bible classes that we did on the verses that have been changed, every Bible, with the exception of the latest edition of the New King James, has come out now. They put it back in and put it in the margin. But up to now, that passage right there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is that? God manifested in the flesh. Now, the other versions, they change it. Who's manifested in the flesh? He who was manifested in the flesh. It was manifested in the flesh. They take the word God out. Now, the New King Jimmy, they take down there and they put down, they put God and then they give you cross references. And the cross references, they change the God to he or who just to fix it for you. But they don't mess with that. When they got too much backlash on that thing, and the next thing they realize, well, we probably shouldn't be doing that. Anybody that would recommend to you a Bible that has that verse messed with, there must be something wrong with them. They're not spiritual at all. You're talking about the deity of Christ. God manifests in the flesh. It's a demonic sort of a thing if you take a look at that. Look in Luke chapter number 2 to mess with that. That's somebody saying somebody else was manifest in the flesh or nobody was manifest in the flesh. If God wasn't manifest in the flesh, then who was it that died on the cross? You got a real problem with that. Luke chapter number 2. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 52. Now, can you explain God being manifest in the flesh? I believe it. But why would God do that? Put himself in a human body? Into a womb of a woman? Pop out as a baby, clothed in flesh? Washed off by the midwife there, hand there to be suckled at his mother's breast there, and then comes up diapered and fed and clothed and taken care of. Come here, Jesus, it's time to eat. Jesus, put that down. Jesus, don't do that. Jesus, you time for your bath. Washing God. That's real. Eyelashes, fingernails, you know, as the old preacher says, you know, that kind of a thing. Eyeballs looking at you. You can't explain that thing. It's a mystery. Doesn't mean it's not true. That's Americanism says this. Americanism says, well, if you can't explain it, it can't be true. Well, then you miss the whole thing. You say, why can you explain a holy God coming down here in a human body and dying on Calvary and giving you a chance to live eternally? Can you explain being able to go to heaven when you die and live up there and live in sinless in a body forever and forever? You can't believe it. You can't understand it, but you believe it. You can't even explain it. Luke chapter number 2, explain this about Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. What? Well, I thought he was God. He is God. He's all God and he's all man. But it's a mystery. You say, what? I can't. How can you explain that? Now, you know, when you take the whole Bible and you start looking at it, you realize that God had to come down here, be tempted in all points, yet like we are, yet without sin, in order to be able to be the propitiation, the Bible word, for to take your place for sin. He couldn't do it without an atonement. Otherwise, he'd just have to wipe you out. I'll take your Bible and come over a little further here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If God wants to make a fool out of a man, he can do it. First way he does it is he makes a fool out of a man by making a woman have a child without a man involved. That'll blow your mind. They're trying to mimic that now. God makes man four ways in the Bible. The first way, he makes man out of dirt. Out of the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. You say you believe that? Yeah, that's what he said. Amen. He made him out of dirt. Amen. Second way, he makes a man out of a man's rib, out of the man. The man bore Eve. What happened? The Lord cut open his rib and took his rib out, and out of that rib made the woman.
Right. Amen.
Third way, a man and a woman come together and they have a child. Three ways. Fourth way, I'll fix it where a woman can have a child without a man involved. Virgin birth. Let's see man duplicate that. Man duplicate maybe one of those and maybe even two of those, but he can't duplicate all four of them. Imagine a big fancy scientist coming up and saying, well, we got this with DNA and RNA and we're doing so on and so forth. We're able to get this stuff together and we can reproduce this and give it life and this and that and the other. And the little kid reaches down and grabs him a handful of dirt and he says, well, that's real good. Let's see you make a man out of that. Make it out of dirt. That's where you come from. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number, 25. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 25. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Look at verse 21, same thing. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So how does a man get to kick the thing out? I'll tell you how he kicks it out. He doesn't believe what God says anymore. He's too smart. Can't figure it out. I heard a lady recently say, look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. A lady recently says, well, all religions are the same. Everything's the same way. And man's just the same as anything else. He just came out of a borrow pit there, a slime pit, and just evolved into what he is today. How come you're not continuing to evolve?
Right.
I use their own argument against them. Right. You believe in evolution? How come you're dying, lady? You better hope you're right. You better hope when you die and go to dust. You better hope and pray that the Bible's not right, that you think just written by a bunch of men. You better hope and pray that the Bible's not right, because if it's right, you're going to hell and you're going to burn forever.
Right.
So, well, you shouldn't say stuff like that. No, you shouldn't say stuff like that.
Amen.
I'm supposed to say stuff like that. And if you're a Christian, you're supposed to say stuff like that. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense. It's foolish. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. He didn't get up there and say, here's what, angel, come here, Gabriel, come here, Michael, here's what I want you to do. Here's a flaming sword. Get up there in the sky and write, you know, how much I love them and tell them about me and all that. You know what he said? I'm going to call a bunch of base things in the world, a bunch of preachers that don't know nothing, a bunch of people that are not impressed by the rest of the world and by education, all the other stuff that people think are smart, and I'm going to put them out there and give them a Bible, and I'm going to tell them to tell people if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell.
That's right, man.
Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them when they're lost.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I'm too smart. The world by wisdom.
Right.
When your educational level educates you out of the Bible, there's something wrong with your education.
Amen.
The greatest thing you could ever find is an educated person that believes the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, they got some sense.
Amen.
Some of you, you're not educated at all. You're just lazy.
Amen.
You're not stupid. You're lazy.
Amen.
You don't want to study.
Amen.
Study to show thyself approved. What are we doing now? We're studying.
Right.
Well, I believe this, preacher. Move on. No, let's hang out here just a little while.
Amen.
You're talking about a mystery of God, and God says if you're a good steward, you're supposed to know some things about it. That's the strangest thing in the world, to try to get somebody to understand or to believe that you're a fool if you don't believe that Jesus Christ came down here, God came down here in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, and died for your sins. That's what the Lord says. You're a fool. You say, what? I'm too smart. I'm educated. I've got, all these degrees and stuff like that. You got so many degrees and you still don't believe that God saved you? Then guess what? You go to hell just like somebody that didn't know anything about what you know. Isn't that strange how God does that? He veils himself in a mystery. Now, you can't explain the mystery, but you believe it or you can't be saved. The old preacher used to say this. He'd say, do you understand the Trinity? No. But if I don't believe the Trinity, then I go to hell. If I try to understand it, I may lose my mind. But I'd rather lose my mind than lose my soul.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
I believe it. Triune God. Jesus Christ down here. God manifest in the flesh. But God sitteth up there in heaven. But the Holy Spirit coming down. But they're all three, one, and they're all one and three. But they're all coming down. Now, I understand theologically where that's supposed to go, but honestly, really, to be able to put it across, I can't. Make me chew on my tongue, make my eyes go cross-eyed. How are they all the same, but they're all in different manifestations at the same time?
Right.
You can be in three different places at one time. Right now, you're seated with Him in heavenly places,
right.
Spiritually,
Amen.
But you're still here. That'll get the next one here in just a second. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I'm up there. Well, here's it. You can't be manifested in three places at one time. But if you're dead, you can. If you're dead, your spirit returns to God. Your soul's up there with Him. Your body's down here. But that's three active parts at the same time. None of them are dead. God talking. Jesus Christ being baptized. Holy Spirit descending. They're all moving. How do you explain that? I don't know. Preacher, you're undermining yourself. You should be able to explain that stuff. Shoot, man. I can't explain that. It's a mystery.
Right.
It's the mystery of the Godhead, but I believe it. With all my heart, I believe it.
Amen.
I don't believe at that moment there was a break in the deity of Christ and Jesus no longer was Christ anymore and now all of a sudden He's just a man like people believe in the cross. No, man. There's no break in that thing that takes place. He's all God and He's all man. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
Amen.
You say, what is that? That's somebody fool enough to believe what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
That's what that is. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. It's strange what a man does to get around God. But I'm sure of this. I'm positive of this. I know that the reason a person does that is that they must have a belief, they're hedging their bet, that something goes on when they die. Anybody that's really intellectual, that's really smart, there's no way they could believe in reincarnation. The people that believe in it don't believe they'll come back as a bug or a rat or a roach or a rabbit or a deer or something like that. The people that believe in it believe they'll come back at the top of the food chain because they believe they've done good for other people. So therefore, when they are reincarnated and come back to live here on this earth, they believe they're going to step back into a body and that they're going to be on top of the food chain. They've earned their position. They're moving up the chain. What's your measuring stick? In the Bible, God's our measuring stick, and that's why you got to have Jesus Christ to get in.
That's right.
You can't get in without Him.
Amen.
All right, back just real quick and reread these verses to you. Verse number 19. 119. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I'm sorry, 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but of us which are saved is the power of God. You ever sit down with somebody like that and you try to talk to them about it? And they're just, that Bible stuff. All religions are just a man wrote that. Why would a man write that? You know one of the greatest arguments for a man not writing the Bible? If you're a man, you don't tell things about yourself you don't want other people to know. If a man wrote the Bible, you think he's going to tell about David's adultery and murder? You think he's going to tell about Moses killing a guy and about how he rebelled against God? The way you know a man didn't write that Bible is he doesn't give himself any breaks in here. If a man wrote it, he'd be hedging his bet all the time and lying and saying, you know, well, I did this and I did that. If he pointed to all of the things he did good, he wouldn't be pointing to things he did bad. But you ever put that verse on somebody? Somebody says, well, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Well, the Bible does say that, you know, to them that perish, it's foolishness.
Yeah.
So you think it's foolish, you must be going to perish. If the Bible's right. I don't believe the Bible. And you think that sets the standard? Do you ever think about the audacity of somebody to say that to you? What they're saying is that because I don't believe the Bible, it must not be true. So you mean you're God? Let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say that Bible's written by people, by men, not copiers, and with the Holy Spirit speaking to them like I believe, inspired by God, and they wrote, that's the Holy Spirit's the author of that book.
Right.
He uses about 40 different copiers down there. Mm-hmm. HP and, you know, all the other ones, Epson and whatever else is out there, Dell and everything else nowadays, but he uses all those printers in the Bible. But let's just say for the sake of argument for a minute, that Bible's written by people, okay? When a person says, I don't believe that, you know what they're saying? I'm smarter than 40 people that wrote that book. Well, what do you know about those people? You sure you're more educated than they are? You sure you're smarter than they are? They sure seem mighty smart. They wrote over 500 prophecies in the Old Testament of a fellow coming in the New Testament, and they didn't miss it all the way down to the city that he was going to be born in, the person he was going to be born to, and how he was going to come. You sure you're smarter than that? Oh my, you sure are mighty smart. You just don't want me to look into the authorship? I'll compare your education with theirs any day.
Right. Amen.
You think your modern education is better than their education? My, ladies and gentlemen, your education's based on old education.
Right.
You didn't come up with nothing new. The Bible says nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Everything you learn, somebody wrote. That's what's dangerous about modern-day seminary. Modern-day seminary is based on Freud and Jung's teaching in psychology. Those guys were sexual deviants. They're teaching it in Bible classes now, trying to teach you the psychology of human man. We're whacked out. What else do you need to know? You need God. Without it, you're a lunatic. All right, a little bit further on, verse number 19. Brad says, you're not going to get mad, are you, today? I'm not mad yet. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The second somebody kicks off that's so smart, let's say Darwin. I've heard people say, well, I think Darwin got saved in the end. Okay, good. I hope he did. Maybe he did. But let's just say he didn't. That guy wrote stuff, and textbooks are still being written about that stuff, and that mess that's going on nowadays is taught by one guy who walked around with a bunch of animals, and you read his history, you'd be surprised. You'd think to yourself, how could anybody follow this fool? But at any rate, like that, he kicks off. I bet his wisdom is no longer prudent. I bet all the people that worship his education, all of a sudden he's thinking, man, what a mess I just made. And he dies down there, and in hell he lifts up his eyes and he screams out, Father, what an idiot I am. 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 Just like that. The wise will be brought nothing. The people that tell me nowadays, they sit down and try to talk with them, and they try to, you know, they blow off this, you know, the intellectual attitude of, you know, they know so much more, they're so superior when it comes to discussing God and the theology and the doctrine of God and all that other kind of stuff, and they don't believe that God exists and all that, and all the religions are the same and all that. They don't intimidate me at all.
Amen.
I'll say, okay, well, we'll find out one day. Amen. And if you're right, okay, good. But if I'm right.
Amen.
You're going to have a rude awakening.
Right.
Let them people intimidate you.
That's right.
By wisdom, the world knew not God.
Right.
They got too smart.
Yep.
Hedging their bets. You know what you'll always find out? You'll always find a moral depravity with those people.
Yes, sir.
There's always something they're covering up they don't want to face God with, like shacking up. Like doing stuff they know better than to do, like bad testimony and living. Oh, well, what difference does it make? That's what you'll find at the basis of that thing. They don't want to face God. Don't you know the Bible says that God will bring every thought into the judgment of God and every secret? Have me excused. I go to Calvary and take a blood bath, man, and the Lord says, okay, fine, it's out of the way. So what's going to happen when you stand up there? You wait till the Lord calls you out. You know, he's going to call me out. He's going to go, Peacock. I say, yes, sir. What are you doing here? Give me the book. He picks up the book and he goes. And he sees white pages.
Amen.
And he gets his son over there and he picks up the book. And he said, what are you doing bearing his sin? He said, well, he asked me to bear him for him and I figured I'd take him away.
Amen.
And the father says, okay, well, I can't argue with that. There's no argument. You had somebody sinless pay for you, so you're sinless.
Amen.
I die sinless.
Amen.
You think somebody that's going to intimidate me because they try to make me feel little because they think I'm an uneducated, recently said, a redneck Baptist preacher. You a redneck Baptist preacher with a bad, mean spirit. Okay.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to quit preaching because of what you think about me. Because the whole world revolves around what you think. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says one day, the Bible says, it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. Verse 20, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolishness the wisdom of this world, made foolishness foolish the wisdom of this world? In other words, you're standing up there in judgment at the great white throne, and the Lord's like, okay, let's hear it, folks. Time for your arguments. Go ahead, let's have it. I got all eternity. Talk long as you want to. You're going to run out of words sooner or later. We ain't no hurry. We're here for long as you need. Present your argument. And then when you're done, I'm going to put you in the lake of fire forever. Smarty pants. Thought you knew so much. Thought this dumb, stupid, redneck Baptist preacher fell off the back end of a turnip truck. Didn't know nothing. Well, he's on this side. What are you doing down there with all your wisdom? He's just dumb enough to trust me to save him. He didn't think he could be saved. He didn't think he could make it on his own. Maybe he was a jerk. Maybe he was obnoxious and arrogant and all that. But he made one right decision. Pretty smart decision. What do you think? Maybe he didn't do everything else right. But he did that one right. That's the one that matters. How successful are you and how many cars you have and how many houses do you have and how much money did you have in the bank and, you know, who dies with the most toys? Who dies with the most toys? What? He dies. And leaves it all for his folks to fight over. That's why some of you are so worried. Got to make sure you make nice with everybody so you stay written into the will. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up. I know, Southerners, man. Some of you people, you rule by guilt so much, man, you got people coming out of duty and not because they want to.
Amen.
Some of them are coming because they don't want you to write them out of their will. They're depending on you to leave all of it. Never mind. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them the law. And then he goes into the Jews requiring a sign and so on and so forth. All right, so the first thing is God manifest in the flesh? That's a great mystery. That's one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. That's why I put it first. And you know what you better remember? You better remember on a regular basis that when God died for you, come to 1 John 5, and I'll close this first one. The thing you need to remember is that your Savior is not like Muhammad or Allah. Or Mary, or anybody else.
Amen.
Your Savior is the one that created you.
Yeah.
And the one that created you loved you so much that He died for you.
Right.
God died for you.
Amen.
How do you crucify eternal life? You split yourself off into a human being and you put yourself into the body of a human being. And you know exactly what it is to lay your life down as a human being for all mankind because you needed a person to save you. And God knew that, and so He put Himself in human form and took upon Him the body of the flesh, made Himself lower than the angels, and learned some things He didn't know. What didn't He know? He didn't know about subjection to laws and gravity and to things that were around, subjection to His creation. And you know what He did? He did that because He loves you. There's no religion. Tell me all religions are the same. My foot, lady, you hadn't got any sense.
Amen.
That does make me mad. Our religion, it ain't a religion, it's a relationship. There ain't no other one that believes God died for me. They believe you got to work and you got to do this and you got to do that and all that other kind of stuff. You're educated. You don't know nothing. You're a complete imbecile. I would be so kind as to say, with as much grace as I can muster, you're an idiot.
Amen.
To think all religions are the same.
Amen.
Everybody else is work, 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 and you might make it. That's it. You ask somebody believes baptism saves you. Well, you do the best you can, and you hope when you die you make it. Oh, I don't hope when I die I make it. I know I'm making it.
Amen.
So you can't know till you die. Yes, I can.
Amen.
Christ is in me.
Amen.
That's a mystery.
Amen.
What's the matter? You don't know the mysteries? You're so smart you don't know the mystery? The mystery is when I got saved, there's something in me
Amen.
That keeps me from perishing.
Yes, Amen.
And it has nothing to do with the other nature.
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
This gets me in trouble.
Amen.
The guy on the inside, that's the one that's getting me out of here. 1 John chapter number 5. You want to write this one down if you would like to. Verse number 20. The Bible says, and we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even His Son, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the
Amen.
True God and eternal life.
Amen.
Who's the true God?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. That's your true God.
Amen.
So Christ, or God manifest in the flesh, that's Jesus Christ. If you have a religion, then, and all religions are the same, Mike and back, Ephesians chapter number 5. How can all religions be the same when there's certain religions, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter number 1, when there's certain religions that don't even believe that was God. They just believe He was a good man. They just believe He was a person that was down here. Some believe He was a prophet. I don't know how I got fortunate enough that God put me in a place where I could get the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
I thank God I didn't get raised by all that other stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with me. I'm glad. I'm glad. Some of you folks here that are Catholic, and by the way, can I just say this, please? I'm just airing it out a little bit here, but can I just say this, please? Folks, stop telling me that I'm offending Catholics that are here. We have Catholics that are here, and I have yet to have a single Catholic come up to me and say, you offended me by what you said about me before I was saved. If you're offended, don't use the mask or the veneer of hiding behind thinking you're taking up for a Catholic that's in our presence that's saved now. They're not bothered by it at all. If you want to keep sucking suds, that's your business. But don't go and say, well, now, preacher, you know, this Wednesday night you're talking about this thing about, you know, what the Catholics do and that kind of a deal. And I just think, you know, that might hurt their feelings. I've yet to have a Catholic walk into me that was saved out of that foolishness and say, preacher, that really offended me talking about me and where I used to come from.
Right.
It was Baptist. He just want to suck suds, man. Be honest.
Amen.
Just be honest. Hey, preacher, I don't agree. I think it's okay for me to drink. Help yourself. Ask God to bless it and go at it. I ain't going to say nothing to you. I'm not the cotton-picking, Bible-believing Baptist church police running around behind you to see if you... I'm not following you to the restaurant to see what you got at the table. Okay, just checking, you know. I ain't doing that stuff. Really. I guess some of you are worried about that. You got a guilty conscience. You don't think God's up there watching you? You know what I know? I know this. I know a scalded dog yells first.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
What you hollering about? You're outing yourself.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, I agree with you, but you know, you have to stop and to consider sometimes the impact that you have on other people. Thank you for defending them. They needed it.
That's right.
Don't bother them at all. It's bothering you.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh,
right. Amen.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. That's the wrong dog talking, man. Colossians chapter 1. That's the first one. Who says you can't have fun in church? You're having fun at other people's expense. I'll cut it out, man. You have fun at other people's expense all the time. You laugh and mock and belittle and make fun of people all the time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. You set yourself up to be made fun of. You're going to make fun of the Bible, I'm going to make fun of you. Who says I'm supposed to sit and listen to you say that?
That's right. Amen.
You offended me. I'm Matthew 18-ing you. I'm coming to you and telling you, you offended me. I'm at least telling you to your face, you upset me, telling me you don't believe the Bible. That hurts my feelings. So you get to speak your opinion, why can't I speak mine? Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The second one that you want to see up there is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this is kind of a difficult thing because it's hard to put into words. If he's really in you, then he should be on the throne, right? He should be the boss. He should be on the throne. We should be at his feet. You don't want it to be the other way around. You don't want to be where Jesus is at your feet and you're sitting on the throne and you're trying to command him to do whatever you want him to do. That's how most people do nowadays. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and come to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Now, it's hard to explain this without understanding the two natures, and I'm not going to be able to get through this. This thing is so important that I even thought about this morning just bringing this over. It's not a real preaching thing, but bringing it over into the morning service. Because there's a big misunderstanding nowadays when it comes to salvation and when it comes to fellowship.
Amen.
I've got a thing here in my Bible that I'll read to you. And in there it's a questionnaire. And this lady is going around to a bunch of Baptist churches now. All churches, but Baptist churches too. And she's saying that it grieves the Holy Spirit of God when you sin. True or false? She says it's false. That's what she says. And people are having her in. That's a guilt complex. No, when you do wrong, you should feel guilty.
Amen.
It's right to feel guilty. You do something you shouldn't do, there should be something in you that makes you feel bad about it. And they're trying to take that out of the way now and say, don't feel bad about doing bad. No, you should feel bad about it.
Amen.
Your kid does something wrong, he ought to feel bad, and he ought to pooch out his lip, and she ought to pooch out. They ought to feel bad, and they ought to get their time out. However you choose to time them out, but they should feel bad about that. That's right. That's the right response. You steal something, you go through the grocery store. My goodness, man, my dad used to, if you take a cherry or something and you get ready to eat it, he's like, you going to pay for that?
That's right.
Well, Dad, it's a cherry. It's sitting out there. Ain't your cherry, boy.
That's right.
They'll never miss it. No, they may not, but you're going to tell them who got it. You're going to let them know because they put it out there assuming that you were going to do right by it. So you're going to go talk to the store manager and tell them you took a cherry, how much it cost.
Amen.
You do that once to a kid, you know what a kid will learn? I ain't touching no cherries or bubble gum or nothing else. You say, why? That's embarrassing. You say, oh, well, preacher, you know what's the big deal? I know Christians. I know how you are. You walk through the store and think it all's there for you. And, you know, I'm just sampling the wares and so on and so forth. I know that. If it don't say free samples, it ain't for you to sample.
Amen.
God bless your little hearts. Here's something else. Mark chapter 7, the Bible says this in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man. This lady in that thing that I've got, I'll read to you, she says that your heart is not wicked and it's not deceitful above all things and that you don't need to worry about having a dirty heart.
Oh, wow.
True or false?
False.
She says it's false because it's your heart's clean. How's your heart clean? The Bible says that's where the trouble is.
Right. Right.
Now here's where the trouble comes. The trouble comes not making the delineation. If Christ is in me, I can't make Him dirty. So what she doesn't delineate, she doesn't rightly divide her Bible, she doesn't understand that in you is two natures. And even after you're saved, those two natures still exist.
Yes, amen.
Come to Galatians chapter 5. This is a great mystery. Let me ask you a question. How many of you men in here are saved? You trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. How's Christ in all of you and in me too? A mystery, ain't it? But He is. How many of you women in here are saved? That's nearly everybody in here. Well, if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, how's He in you? And He's in me. And yet He's... How do you do that? It's a great mystery. But here's the reason it becomes a mystery to individuals. That thing in Galatians chapter number 5. You look over there around 16 or 17 there, and he'll say, the flesh lusts against the spirit and spirit against the flesh. And these they war against one another. You cannot do the things that you would. And then you come on down there and he says, the works of the flesh are, which are manifest are these. Is that 5? Around 18, 19, 20 right through there. And he lists a whole bunch of things that the flesh can do while he's inside you. Yeah. You say, why? If he's not ruling, you're ruling.
Right.
That means inside my flesh right now, inside my human body right now, is two natures. Before I got saved, I had one nature. But now, Jesus Christ is inside me. Now, I want to take a little bit of time here, if you'll please allow me to. And it's getting late, but let me just show you this real quick, and then I may just cover this thing in regular church service. Because this is badly misunderstood. You see, preacher, if I'm really saved, let me ask it in the form of a question. It is rhetorical. How many of you have heard this statement before? Well, I just believe if you're really saved, you can't commit murder. I just believe if you're really saved that you won't do whatever the list is. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
I'm here to tell you that just because you're saved, unless you walk in the Spirit, you can do anything after you're saved that you could do before you were saved, except you can't go to hell. That is where the problem comes in with this mystery. How is it that Christ is in me and yet I still do things that are wrong? This is where doubt for salvation comes in, where doubt of eternal security comes in. Well, if you were saved, I don't think you lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, murder, adultery, everything you can possibly think of. But the Bible teaches you that you can still do it. Whether you do it or not is not an indication of your salvation. It's an indication of who's running you.
Right. Amen.
There's a difference in sonship and fellowship. And if you don't make this delineation, your Bible will be messed up for a long time, and you're going to be messed up. You say, why? You can't live it.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to give you some relief. I'm going to try to tell you, you can't be ruled by guilt. You say, what is this right here? This is one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible, that Christ is in me. That's my hope and glory. It's not in my flesh, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's not in my works. It's not in my actions. It's not in my deeds. That has something to do with the judgment seat of Christ. That right there guarantees me eternal security because I'm saved.
Amen.
Say, you're condoning wicked behavior. No, I'm not. That's you and your lascivious way of thinking. I'm saying to you that you cannot go to heaven without Christ in you.
Amen.
But you can go to heaven if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and still be doing bad things.
Right.
Maybe we'll get a little bit more teaching on that. Some of you are like, well, I just believe. Yeah, I know. You always exclude whatever it is you're doing and point to somebody and say, well, they can't be saved. They went to jail. They can't be saved. They smoked. They can't be saved. They drank. They can't be saved. They whatever. They can be saved. You say, why? Because here's the great thing about God. Once He saved you, He didn't take away your free will.
Right.
Man, what a God.
Amen.
You say, why? Because after you're saved, boy, does He not kick in mercy and long-suffering and grace. Doesn't He kick in those things and say, boy, I'm tell you what, I love them. They're still my kids, even though they're a soup sandwich.
Right.
That's something all of you ought to rejoice over.
Amen.
We'll take a break there. We got folks gathering up outside. Father, bless your word and pray you'll be with us in the upcoming service. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.